This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, it's time for the Jason and John Show, Respect Burgers. Sizzling Respect Burgers, served hot and fresh from Jason and John.
Yep, we do it in the form of burgers because I love burgers. Double stack, the double cheeseburger at McDonald's. And I tell you what, I've given to them too, John. I don't know if you've seen it, but I like to give them out virtually as well. I do it.
Yes, you do.
Social media,
I like
sometimes.
The virtual extension of the show. That's fun.
Exactly. I'm enjoying doing that.
Yeah.
Building up a little following there, John. Now, it's not an Alvin Camaro-ish following, but it's there are people out there that can't wait till Mondays to hear who's getting the Respect Burger. And I'll tell you this, Nate McMillan deserves one of them. I'm gonna call him Nathaniel because that's what his mama named
him.
Yeah,
I see.
And he
has that proper respect.
He deserves all of the respect because what you have to remember is this Hawks team that has advanced after taking care of Philly to the Eastern Conference Finals as a 5 seed was 14-20 when he took over in 11th place. When they fired Lloyd Pierce, Nate McMillan, who was done wrong, by the way, in Indiana, there's no question about it, and the evidence is in the fact that they fired their coach after 1 season. They were foolish to get rid of Nate McMillan, who has gone on with the Hawks and now has them in position to advance to the finals. Now, Yoda says they're going to do it. Rashad Phillips, who we had on earlier, says that they're going to beat the Milwaukee Bucks and end up in the finals. Either way, it's already one hell of a job by Nate McMillan. I would pick the Bucks there. But again, Yoda's been right on more than I have. Mm-hmm. That's why he's going to be hired by somebody's front office here soon, it sounds like. But give all the respect in the world to Nate McMillan because you had guys like, look, you had an advantage yesterday against Seth Curry, who's been good offensively, but you can tear him up defensively. And what does he do? He empowers Kevin Huerter to go out there, score 27 points, and take advantage of that bad defense. Trae Young on a bad shooting night? Well, what do? The best find other ways to win. Nate McMillan being in his ear has helped with that. Trae Young goes 5 of 23, 2 of 11 from 3, but he makes the big plays down the stretch, including that big 29-footer. With 2:31 left in the fourth quarter, put them up 6 points. You had Huerter with a couple of big free throws. This play was important. We haven't mentioned his name at all. Danilo Gallinari. How about the steal he got on Embiid there late, then gets the dunk on the other end to extend the lead to 98-92. He was big for them. And again, to get those kinds of performances from those kinds of dudes in your first time through, that's not the first time for Gallinari, but it is for most of that Atlanta team. That says a lot about your coach. And it tells you a lot, too, that, you know, coaches in this league can make a difference. Now, they ain't always going to get things turned around from all of a sudden you are an 11 seed and now you're in the Eastern Conference Finals. But that voice, you know, empowering guys, that matters in this league. And Nate McMillan, as far as I'm concerned, like John was talking about earlier, Kendrick Perkins put the stamp on Tyronn Lue. Man, put the stamp on Nate McMillan. This dude's one of the better coaches in the NBA. Has to be to get this Hawks team in its first time out all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals. Number two.
Respect.
Paul George. John doesn't want me to give it to him, but I'm going to do it.
You're not supposed to do this in L's, man.
I'm not giving it to a loser. Remember what he did over the weekend?
Yeah,
he got them
on.
Past
we
Utah.
Moved on, man.
Stop. Utah was favored, man. They had two of the final three games at home. Yes, Paul George is down 1-0 in the Western Conference Finals, but I tell you, just like I said in the first hour, that might be right where he wants Phoenix. They've come back from 2-0-2 deficits. I realize you did a lot of that work without Kawhi, but give me a break. This dude averaged 29, 9.5, and 4.8 assists for the series against Utah. They close him out in 6 games, and in the final two, without Kawhi, I'm sitting up here asking Mark Giannato questions like, you really think your guy playoff Paul can get through this thing? Thinking there's no way. In those final two games, he took it up a level. 32.5 points per game, 12.5 rebounds per game, and 6 assists. He was absolutely fantastic. And like I said, yes, it may end up 4-1, them losing to Phoenix, because, again, really, when Phoenix gets Chris Paul back, it's going to be hard to beat them. But for me, at least, Paul George had a reputation
yes, he did.
Coming into these playoffs as a guy who, what, let you down when it was playoffs time. That man was all the way playoff Paul when they needed it most, when Kawhi went down. I don't see how we're not all giving Paul George a respect burger. Yes, even being down 0-1 in the Western Conference Finals already to the Phoenix Suns. Number three, Cameron Payne.
Respect.
We've touched on it. Giannato wrote a column about it that I enjoyed because he talked to Cam about what he'd been through, everything else. And then you heard Mark Jackson talking about it this weekend while that game was going on. That's the other side of this. You got Paul George on one side, the Phoenix Suns up 1-0 thanks in large part to Devin Booker's 40-point triple-double. They got 11 points and 9 assists yesterday from Cameron Payne, who was starting in place of Chris Paul in Game 1. Chris Paul obviously in the health and safety protocols, expected to be back soon. But Cam does what? Goes 5 of 10, was guarding Paul George at times there down the stretch. Now, he ended up getting a couple fouls, ended up putting him, you know, they had to bench him with 5 fouls. But he was doing yeoman's work in place of Chris Paul. And again, gives you 9 assists. How about this? Had the second highest plus-minus in the game.
Yes.
At plus 14. So not just in the game, but playing well. Paul, this is Payne before the game. Said, well, this is Payne is on what Paul told him before the game. He said, the game is going to be hectic, but keep your poise. That was the first thing he told me. He called me yesterday and he said, the game's going to get hectic. Don't worry about it. Be poised. I know y'all ain't played in a long time and the crowd's going to be crazy, but he was like, be poised and get on to the next play. And that's pretty much what Cam Payne did. He had a couple, he got a tech yesterday too.
Yes, he did.
So there were a couple of those moments where, and you saw Monty pull him over to the side and basically say, we can't have that, but give me them 11 and 9 all day long. And here's, I tweeted this quote out, because Mark Jackson sort of summed his career up. And a lot of folks thought Mark was just taking a jab, an unnecessary jab at him. But here's the quote from Jackson during the game. He's one of the most improved point guards I've seen in my entire career. Okay? From a dance partner in Oklahoma City.
Yep.
And that's the part that everybody just fell over themselves and said, oh, Mark, why'd you have to go there? But, guys, that's what he was. And Cam Payne is not running from that, by the way. He's never run from that sort of characterization of what he was there. Back to the quote. From a dance partner in OKC to a guy out of the league and now a legitimate guy that can impact the basketball game. I didn't think that was a cheap shot from Mark Jackson as much as it was him paying respect to Cameron Payne. Most guys don't have the kind of jump. I mean, most guys don't have the kind of career where you're a lottery pick out of Murray State. Right, you start, you think everything's going to go well. At some point, it'll be your time at OKC, but it isn't. It went all wrong. Then he goes to the Bulls. Some of this stuff on injury hurt him there. Was designated basically one of the worst players in the NBA. Goes overseas, comes back, G League, Dallas Mavericks. He thinks he's going to get a shot. They say no. As Giannato wrote, we're going to go with Trey Burke. Thinks it's over. Phoenix gives him a call. And he doesn't, again, just take the job and the opportunity, but he shines in it. A Memphian, anytime we can pay, give him a respect burger, we're going to do it. Cameron Payne earned it.
Respect.
Even if he wasn't from Memphis, he'd earned it for what he basically was been through and what he's gotten back to. So Cameron Payne out of Lausanne Collegiate School and then Murray State, you get you a triple stack for what you did over the weekend. And like we said, Chris Paul expected back soon. But Cam Payne's even been big for that second unit. And I expect him to continue to be all the way into the finals. You might have a Memphian getting a ring. How about that story? Possibly. We'll see.
That's cool.
I bet right now the money's probably on Giannis.
Mm-hmm.
Right. What do you say in the Bucks?
I would say it's close. I would guess.
Chris Paul healthy, yes. I mean, I love me some Phoenix and the opportunity they've got. And then finally, I'm gonna maybe send you for a loop here, but he deserves it. John Rahm.
Respect.
Remember you were mentioning him last week,
yes.
And we had talked about the tournament that he'd been literally pulled off the course in. Well, that was the Memorial, and it was only 15 days ago, and he'd gotten a positive COVID test and had come forward, 26-year-old Spanish. Pro golfer obviously come forward and said, man, I'd wish I'd gotten vaccinated sooner. At that point, he'd only had one vaccine, hadn't had the double dose, and hadn't had enough time. So when he got the positive test, they pulled him off the Memorial. Remember, he had a 6-stroke lead. at that time that he was pulled off the course, was probably going to win it the next day. I believe it happened on a Saturday. Most folks had him pegged as the winner on Sunday, gets pulled off. Here we are 15 days later, and he wins his first major in 20 tries, 20 starts in majors, wins his first. He's the first Spaniard to win the U.S. Open. So just for what he'd been through, and it's that, too, is sort of saying that admission that, look, I did this wrong. Didn't particularly like the way the PGA made it so public, pulling me off the course the way they did, sort of making me sort of the example here. And I would say that's a fair assumption there, a fair opinion, I should put it, by John Rahm. They didn't have to do it the way they did. But that said I should have been vaccinated earlier. This is their rules.
Yep.
Does it, then comes back 15 days later from that, being pulled off. He was literally in tears, to winning the U.S. Open. Like I said, first Spaniard to do it. It was big for the entire country of Spain. So John Rahm, now winner of the U.S. Open, his first major in 20 tries, gets a respect burger from me. Even though I don't watch golf, I can recognize the significance
Absolutely.
Of it, John.
Absolutely.
Respect.
Well, then we have to, of course, give out a disrespect dog. That's what we do every single week on the show. And we've talked a lot about him, but unfortunately he is going to be the recipient this week. It's Magic Johnson, if you remove the magic, Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons is going to be the recipient of the disrespect dog this particular week because, look, his fourth quarter, it's like it goes back to that saying, Michael Jordan, you miss 100% of the shots that you don't take. And that is a credence that is a slogan that Ben Simmons lives his life by, because he took no shots in the fourth quarter, in games 4, in games 5, in games 6.
It was the last 4. 0 shots in the fourth quarter. Okay,
and only 3 in the fourth quarter for the entire series. So Ben Simmons, unfortunately, had $140 million. That is his contract. He is afraid to be on the free throw line. Can't score. Going to likely be traded away from Philadelphia. Unfortunately, he is going to have to be the recipient of this dog this week, Jason.
I would give him and Doc one.
They can split it.
Because Doc and his team's blowing lead has become blowing huge leads has become a thing of the last 2 years here. And I really, you think, okay, clean slate, I'm going over to Philly, it's going to be different. And it was not. It was historic in terms of their meltdowns.
Yep.
And so I would put him right in that boat. And Ben Simmons, yeah, man, go work on it. Everybody's talking about it's mental. I'm talking about Julie Bartos on this, and I think she agreed with me when we were done. Free throws, mental, sure. Confidence, mental, all that, we get it. But the way you get confident on a free throw line is reps. Like, go work on your game. I was listening to Magic talk about him this morning. Stay in the gym this offseason. Do whatever you've got to do. Even if it's – Magic talked about playing in the summer league. Now, he ain't going to go play in the NBA summer league. I bet you he would tell you that's beneath me now that I've been in an all-star. But whether it's some program or whatever it is, get in a game and shoot some free throws to a point. And get in a gym. Shoot them all day, because that's how you get the confidence, is from the reps. And, yes, I realize, well, you can't simulate a big game situation or game 7 against the Hawks and be on a free throw line in the offseason, but what you can be is not come off that free throw line all offseason. That is the way you add to your bag.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Jordan didn't just come back with the fadeaway after he'd been a slash and all that. He went and worked all offseason on it. And I just – Ben Simmons to me has always struck me as a guy who feels like, look, my game is as good as it needs to be. I'm an all-star. I'm recognized as one of the best defensive players in the game. I make plays for others. I'm a big point guard when I want to be. But you cannot play at this level,
yep,
like we talked about. Western Conference Finals. You're trying to get to the Eastern Conference Finals. And things like this, 37% from the free throw line, not be exposed. You have too high a usage rate for them to hide you. So that is on you, Ben Simmons. And the difference between him and Giannis, it's like we talked about with Yoda. This is a major point, is that Giannis will take them.
Mm-hmm.
For all that grief they're giving Giannis. Said, yeah, you'll see it a little bit,
yep,
but manifest itself as, well, I'm going to shoot a fadeaway against James Harden, who's on one leg here in this one.
That's kind of like what we're talking about with Ben, yeah.
You see a little bit of it, but he fights through it.
He does.
It's not like he doesn't go.
He keeps coming.
Oh, man, what are you talking about? And that's when he's at his best, is playing downhill.
No doubt.
So he'll even from three-point range, he'll take the shots. And again, you can't make them if you don't take them. You can't get confidence if you're too scared to shoot them in the first place.
Well, the ringer says he should switch hands. The ringer says he said, because he's a right-handed player, but he uses his left quite a bit too. So the ringer says he should basically switch full time to his right hand.
I don't have any problem with that. again, you shoot 32.7% for a series, and you may as well start brand over like you're 6 years old, 7 years old.
Yeah.
Try something new. Whatever it takes, he's got to get to a point where he's much more confident than what he is. You cannot be that much of a liability to your team as much as they need you out there on that floor. You can't kill them to that point. Now, again, this shouldn't all just be on Ben. Some of this should be on Doc Rivers and some of those other guys, but absolutely, Ben got to go get in the gym somewhere and work on those free throws. You are not a finished product to the point that you're hurting your team.
That's right.
Now they got to trade you.
We'll talk to Jason Fitz about this and more when we come back. Stick around. Jason and John, 92 FM, ESPN.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Eastern Conference Finals are set. Milwaukee, Atlanta. I think about the last Eastern Conference Final that people would have expected this particular year. Jason Fitz, you can catch him on Spain and Fitz all over ESPN Digital Networks. He joins us every single Monday at this time. He joins us. Now, Fitz, what's happening, man?
Yeah, I'm just living that dream. Like, I was watching all weekend thinking, it is good. Like, it's not that long ago that we were sitting here talking every single week about when we were going to get sports back, what it was going to look like, how we were going to get everything back. And now I'm sitting there watching a weekend where every single NBA game was absolute fire. And then you flip over to the NHL and they're equally as good. Like, I feel really good about just being in sports right now. Like, it sounds cheesy, but man, what a good weekend.
Yeah, and fans, right? I mean, and fans are back. I mean, as much as we appreciated the bubble, right? Like, it just something felt off because it was. I mean, it was weird. It was awkward. This feels much more like how it's supposed to be.
Yeah, 1,000%. And you're right. I mean, there's a certain environment, and I've told this story before, but I feel like there's a hallway at ESPN that I've walked down a couple of times when I've been on campus, and it has all of the women from the women's national team in whichever year it was, just everybody celebrating, and you see everybody going wild. And the number of times I've felt like over the last year, like, I cover sports, but I don't cover that right now, and I miss that. And now to see that coming back, I mean, one of the haunting memories, obviously, for the playoffs so far for Atlanta is, you know, watching Spike get shushed. But I would put watching the Philly crowd go from 1,000 to zero over, I mean, just over seconds all of a sudden as the stunning portion of what we saw at the end of the game. Like, that's the haunting memory that will stick in everybody's head in Philly, is just watching that silent arena empty out, knowing that somehow, some way, the 76ers have blown it. Like, you don't get that without fans.
Yeah, it felt like, just in terms of that night, last night in Philly, it felt like the kind of an outcome that could really lead to drastic changes in that organization, you know, because you have Ben Simmons after the game saying he's got a million things he's got to work on. Joel Embiid's basically calling him out. And Doc Rivers was asked, can Ben Simmons lead you to a championship, you know, as a point guard? And Doc said, I can't answer that right now. Which it was just, I mean, and look, we're all sort of having those same thoughts after watching him. But it just felt like the kind of foreboding loss that could lead to great change. What do you think sort of comes out of this for Philadelphia now?
Yeah, I think the chapter has to end. And look, it's not because I don't think that Simmons can be effective. I just think that at some point you got to realize that whether it's in his head or whether it's real, I don't know what fixes it other than a restart. And I don't think you can get that restart in Philly. Like, the fans aren't going to trust him. He's going to have that over his head. Like, that stuff's all real. And we put athletes in this box like they're superheroes, they're supervillains, and they're not. They're human beings. And through the process of that, like, when you get that in your mind, I'm not sure that he can reset who he can be as a player without going somewhere else. And I think that's probably a win for everybody involved at this point.
Of Giannis, Trae Young, Devin Booker, who threw in that first career triple-double, and he did it with a 40-point triple-double, Paul George, Which one of those guys in your eyes over the weekend leveled up the most in terms of respect level, Jason Fitz respect level? Who would you put up there at the top?
I mean, I think what Giannis did was absolutely – like there are a few times that you can look at a game and say, hey, there was win-win out of this game. Like, I don't really care what anybody's opinion on Kevin Durant is. I watched Kevin Durant in that game, and I had goosebumps the whole time.
Absolutely.
And I'm looking at it saying, man, if what you've seen from Durant in the last 2 weeks doesn't – if you can't tip your hat to that, then that's a you problem, right? And I look at Giannis in the same sort of – we've been up and down on whether or not he's aggressive enough, whether or not he could get enough done, and right. What did he do? I mean, like, every – he took every knockout punch from KD and came back and answered. And I really think that was sensational from him. And because – there has been a question of can he break through. I think it does the most for him long and short term on changing some of the conversation.
I mean, in the end, isn't it about the point guard position? I mean, that to me is, I think, what we've learned a lot about in these – I mean, I guess it's not a huge revelation, but look at Phoenix. I mean, it's all about the point guard there. And they got the win yesterday without him. But, you know, clearly to get to this point, they needed to go out and get a guy like Chris Paul. You know, the reason why the Hawks are in the Eastern Conference Finals is because of their point guard, Trae Young. And the reason why the 76ers are not is because of their point guard. Does this sort of playoffs reinforce – the importance of that, you know, of that position and how they stir the drink?
Yeah, and also just how different the NBA is now than it was 15, 20 years ago, how much the style has changed. And, you know, it's funny because we talk so much about the difference in offense in the NFL today because of the expectation on college players to come in and be successful right away and how we see more and more college influence. Well, couldn't you argue that we've been saying for years that the NCAA tournament is all about point guard play, right? So we got just an absolute slew of incredibly talented young players in the league, and you want the ball in their hands as much as possible. So if we just put more focus and emphasis on it because it has more control to everything, from the tempo to the scoring. And when you've got a guy like Trae Young that you totally believe, even with 1 second left on the shot clock, he can find a way to heave it up and may actually make it, like, that's a difference maker late in the game, even when you're having a hard time getting into your offensive rhythm, when you got a guy like that versus every single time coming down the floor thinking, all right, they're just going to foul him here and put him on the line, like, we know he won't score that way. So, I mean, there's an absolute mindset difference and a confidence difference.
Are you thinking Phoenix versus Bucks at this point, Fitzy? And if that's it, what would that final series look like?
Man, I feel like right now I put all of my chips in the Milwaukee hat and say, better go get it now. Like, this is the clearest road you're going to have to get it. And, you know, you look at the Hawks, like you made a great point that this is a young team with just Trae Young that we really believe in as the guy. You know, yeah, mm-hmm. I'll give Capella a lot of credit for being a stirrer, you know, but it's all about Trae Young. Well, Trae's only going to get better. Like, the Hawks are only going to get better. The Nets are going to get healthy. I mean, I look squarely at the Bucks and say, if you're going to try and win a championship, it's not going to get any easier than it will this year. And I feel like they had to sort of survive what they went through last series just to get to that spot where they believe they can. So, you know, to me, I look squarely at the Bucks and think that they've got it. The Suns-Clippers series is incredibly difficult to predict to me because we have no idea what health is going to be, what factor health is going to be in that series. And Ken Booker did what he did last night over and over and over again. I mean, at least we, you know, we can be amazed that Paul George is doing this in the playoffs, but we've seen enough of Paul to know that he's, you know, like, PG can do this, right? So I have a little bit more confidence, strangely, in the Clippers' ability to do it night in and night out, but hard to bet against this Suns team that is, frankly, more athletic than they get credit for being, can push the ball better than most give them credit for. Like, I think a Milwaukee-Phoenix final would be incredible basketball.
I agree with you that I think it's the Bucks' title to lose at this point. I wanted to go back to the Giannis conversation. If they don't win it for whatever reason, do we go back to questioning him and you know, sort of his killer instinct, that aggressiveness or not? Or do you think, you know, because I got to say fairly, yes, he stepped up. I agree with you in the big moments against the Nets down the stretch. But you did do it, you know, basically without, you know, Kyrie and then a Harden who wasn't Harden. Has he passed that sort of level of conversation in terms of if they come up short beating the Nets, or does he have to win it to stay there?
I think he's passed that level of conversation, but nobody else in the organization has. So, like, Coach Bud, I'm still looking at it saying, what in the heck are you thinking most of the time? Like, the number of times I look over and just tilt my head a little bit and say, what? To mm-hmm. Coach Bud, I mean, he's got to win a championship to save his job. And then, you know, you can look at the other guys. Like, as much as I have loved Drew Holiday during the course of the season, Drew Holiday has been at times bad in the playoffs, right? Middleton has been absolutely invisible. And I watched game seven thinking, boy, it'd be nice if anybody named Giannis didn't get – not named Giannis – didn't get in Giannis's way. I mean, his own teammates couldn't play. His coach was making curious decisions, and he still won. So I think, you know, the burden is off of his shoulders a little bit for right now. But if they don't win a champion, I don't think Bud is safe at all at this. Like, Budenholzer is not safe in his seat unless they at least go to and are incredibly competitive in the NBA Finals.
Well, I was at, you know, just for the casual last, I was talking to my wife who, you know, again, watches four NBA games a year. But she told me yesterday, she's like, I'm just glad that somebody other than Steph or LeBron is going to win a championship this year. Which, like, again, I don't know. We've talked about what that will mean for television ratings, right? But it is, it does sort of create this mystery, you know, because you've got four teams here. I guess it could go either. It could go any way. I mean, I think Milwaukee's probably the favorite, maybe Phoenix. But I feel like, you know, if any one of these four teams won the championship, I guess I would not be all that shocked.
Yeah, and look, any way you want to look at it, there we've ended up with what could be great stories, right? Like, if Atlanta actually goes to the NBA Finals, I feel like the sports world will have such big eyes on, oh, my God, can the Hawks, of all organizations, can the Hawks be the one that ends Georgia's suffering? Like, that just feels so strange to even say out loud. If it's Milwaukee, then you've got Giannis and you've got the guy that decided to stay in the small market and all of that conversation. And that Milwaukee block party they were showing during game seven, we're going to see more and more of that sort of stuff. And on the other side, if it's Chris Paul trying to get his redemption or if it's the Clippers, I mean, either way you want to look at it, it's such an interesting and different story. I think it's great for the NBA. I am so tired of spending the most of the season talking about the future of the NBA instead of the actual season we're in right now. I mean, the fact that we're getting captivated games that are close with 2 minutes left between every one of these teams, and we don't really have a set concept of who's going to win. I'll take that all day, every day, over knowing that we're going to get LeBron taking on somebody in the finals.
Well, and you know, the other thing too is like, I mean, Atlanta is a top 10 market, but it's certainly not a place that people consider a big market, especially for the NBA franchise. You know, Phoenix is 11, but again, you know, maybe if you could have some people who would say it's a bigger market, but I certainly would not. It's not in your New York, you know, LA type. And then Milwaukee's 35th. So three of the four teams really are, I would consider, on the smaller side of the market spectrum. Should that give solace to a franchise like the Memphis Grizzlies who look up and see that it is possible to do it, you know, a different way in a city that's not L.A. or New York?
A million times over. I mean, I've been looking at Phoenix all year, and this conversation we've had a few times on Spain and Fitz, that, like, you know, you could ask the question coming into the season of what's the point if you're Phoenix, because, my God, they got Booker, they got DeAndre Ayton. Like, they were supposed to have this team that was able to make some sort of a surge, and then they got to the point that they were pretty good. They get Chris Paul. But then you look around and say, yeah, it's still the Lakers conference to lose. Well, then everything goes awry for the Lakers. The Clippers, turns out, never really get the continuity anybody expects, has their own injury issues. And suddenly you're sitting there saying, man, wait a minute. Phoenix is good right now. And Phoenix is also young and capable of being good for a while. So, yeah, I mean, I think every franchise is looking at this saying, hey, there is a plan. I mean, at some point, the dominance of LeBron ends, right? And when the dominance of LeBron ends, where does it go next? So right now, I think the window of opportunity is really wide open for everybody, and other teams can look at it and say, doesn't really matter what the Nets do. If the Nets don't get healthy, we need to be great so that we can get our window open, you know? And for building youth, there are so many young players right now coming into the league that can flat out play. I feel like if you nailed the draft for a couple of years in a row, you can look at it and say, hey, it might take 3 or 4 years, but then we're going to be darn good, and all you need to be is a 3 seed, and you can make some serious noise.
Fitzy, how much of the NFL, because Cole Beasley thinks it's a lot of other NFL players, how much of the NFL percentage-wise do you think are with him? And we saw Montez Sweat was one of those guys. Hey, I don't need to get, you know, worry about COVID until I get COVID. Cole Beasley obviously saying I'm going to live my life. How much of the league do you think that is? Half of the league, 40% of it? And did you think we'd be further along at this point?
I think we're probably talking like 25% of the league. And I'm a little surprised the conversation's happening, but not because of Cole's feelings. And I think one thing I'll say strongly, I really loved the fact that when Cole Beasley came out and started his rant on Twitter, He went at the NFL Players Association, mm-hmm. and that's the right place to go first because he's part of a union that collectively bargains everything. So, you know, the union is really the one that makes the fights for the players. But I think what everybody, players, fans, everybody needs to have their mindset around is that memo that came out last week that shows the differences for teams that are vaccinated versus teams that aren't.
Right.
And, you know, for example, if you're not vaccinated, only 15 people can be in the gym at any given time. So there's still meeting room requirements and there's still gym limitations. If you're vaccinated, I think it's 85% vaccinated, but if your team is vaccinated to the proper level, you don't have any of those restraints. So while Cole Beasley is absolutely capable of making personal decision for what he wants, the organization has to look around and say, okay, well, if the Bills can't practice the same way the Patriots can, what competitive disadvantage does that put us at? And for a league that constantly looks at it, and look, you guys know my Raiders fandom, some of the Raiders players flat out talked about it when they were at OTAs. They talked in interviews about the fact that they sat down as a team and said, if we don't all get vaccinated, we will all be at a competitive disadvantage. And that's why they made the decisions they made. So I understand any player standing up and saying, I want to take my fate into my own hands. If that's the hill you want to die on, then go for it. Like that's your opportunity to stand up and be an individual. But if it impacts your team, if it impacts the way your team prepares, then be prepared for your team to look at it and say, hey, you know, this is where the NFL needs to, in my mind, continue an exempt list. And, you know, hey, you're not going to be cut. You're not going to be traded. If you don't want to play, then, you know, we'll just pause your contract right now and you can make the decision next year. But, you know, teams and players are going to have a real kumbaya come to Jesus conversation because at the end of the day, as competitive as teams are, I think players that choose not to get vaccinated will find themselves not on a team.
And then last thing, Fitz, the Supreme Court ruled against the NCAA this morning in a landmark antitrust case. Obviously, the NCAA ruled, the Supreme Court ruled 9-0 that the NCAA's business model of not paying or not compensating athletes would be flatly illegal in any other industry. Of course, we know that and sort of have operated with that understanding. And now the sort of question is, you know, is it going to be a uniform across the NCAA NIL, or will schools be allowed to set their own NIL rules and regulations? It looks like as of right now, it's going to be the latter. And if that is the case, what will be the impact on college sports at large?
Yeah, today's a landmark day, and you guys know I'm not into hyperbole. College football will never be the same after today. I think that's a great thing, but even if you think it's a bad thing, cool. Like, there ain't nothing you can do about it at this point other than deal with it. But where the NCAA has failed for years is by not coming up with their own plan and their own system and putting something in place, by not all coming together and doing things when they had the opportunity. They've now put themselves in a situation where it is genuinely going to be the Wild Wild West. And through that process, it is going to absolutely be unfair. Different states that care more about college football are going to make different rules. That's just going to be part of the reality. And I'm not sure what puts the genie back in the bottle on it either. I mean, realistically, at some level, if certain places don't care as much and don't want to invest, like I live in Connecticut most of the year, right?
Right.
Connecticut does not care about college football.
Right.
So if they don't want to have name, image, likeness impact their sport, that's fine. But they do care about college basketball. So every state's going to have to make their own decision. And as that happens, I think it's going to impact recruiting. It's going to impact sales pitches. It's going to impact what coaches want to coach where, because you'll have more recruiting available. I mean, we live in a world where coaches take jobs or don't take jobs based on the recruiting budget and the hours that they have available for planes. That's real, just because they need to be able to fly to recruit. So suddenly the best coaches are going to go where they have the best advantages. So get ready, because the places that really want to invest in college football are going to have that opportunity to do so. And I don't know whatever makes college football the same.
Yeah, I think it is. I think I agree with everything you just said, Fitz. It'll be a very interesting frontier. Fitz, always appreciate the time.
Thank you, brother.
Have a
good
week.
Thanks.
Have a great week, boys.
He is Jason Fitz. Catch him on Spain and Fitz every single day here on ESPN Radio. We'll come back. Lots more to come. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN. Did you see, by the way, I know it's a couple of days old, but we did not mention it, this jaw dunk that he posted on his Twitter account, man? Did you see it? Like, he's just working out, right? I mean, I'm sure it's just a high school gym here.
I saw one where people were like, slow down, Jaws. I think that's the one, right? He doesn't have more than one out there, does he?
Yeah, it's a week old or so, but.
I think I've seen it.
Yeah, he's where he throws it off the side of the backboard, catches it with two hands,
like
reverses it.
Yes, I've seen it.
Like,
and I kind of agree with the whole, take it easy there.
My whole thing, though, is like,
take it easy there.
This dude would, no questions asked win the dunk contest.
No questions
asked.
About his swag now.
You know?
Mm-hmm. His brand.
I feel like we can convince Jai to do it, man. I feel like Ja could be convinced to play in the dunk contest. I really do, because he retweeted it. He retweeted Valley Sports Grizzlies' social media account where they said, we really need to see 12 in the dunk contest. You know, normally he shoots that down. He's like, no, I ain't doing it. Forget it. He retweeted. And I know retweets are not endorsements, but it felt like if he's on the fence, we might be able to get him. If he's on the fence.
Yeah, the NBA should get him, and they should get Zion, and they should make it worth their while to do. Because not just the NBA fans here, the entire world would be watching. And that's something that they should look to fix their contest with, to get guys like that to come out. I don't care what it takes. Hey, give them $5 million. I don't care what it is. We would want to see it. And I think you especially get his South Carolina bro out there, get Zion out there to go toe-to-toe. I think he'd do it, and it should be on the NBA to fix it. That's how you fix the dunk contest.
No doubt.
Get the best dunkers. Get the ones we want to see.
Yep, absolutely.
Your move, NBA.
It is. It is your move, NBA. Let's commit to that.
Make it worth their while.
I mean, what Tommy West said, you can apply it to so many different things. Put something in it or do away with it. That's going to do it for us today. Thanks to Jason Fitz for joining us.
It's painful.
The dunk contest right now is painful.
Watch.
It is. Thanks to Jason Fitz. Thanks, of course, to Rashad Phillips for joining us on the show today. Gino and Jeffrey up next. Don't miss it. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.